Welcome to Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. In part two of my conversation with Justin Boger, we shift from coaching emotions to coaching wellness. Justin, who serves on the board of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, shares what's happening in youth mental health and how the right sport environment can protect kids rather than pressure them. We'll talk goal setting, visualization, and how small coaching moments build confidence, calm, and resilience that will last well beyond the field. Welcome back. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. I'd love to just shift gears a little bit out of the coaching realm a little bit and talk more to your background in mental health. As a board member for the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, what are you all seeing from your organization with kids in mental health right now? And I guess you could start there. That's the first question. What trends are you seeing? And then the second question is, what role do you think sports can play in helping mitigate any of that?
I appreciate that. So, unfortunately, the role of suicidality, concerning behavior with our youth, not only has increased over time, but the instances have become younger and younger. So, while the trends are certainly not positive, what we are seeing is great community response. So, the American Foundation for Suicide for Prevention in Iowa is just one little arm. There are so many great community organizations that are going into schools that are providing support and training to the teachers, to the administration, to the students. And they are showing that they are cared for in the community and that they matter within the community and that they should never feel like they're walking the journey alone. So while we see that the prevalence is growing, and there could certainly be a lot of reasons for that, we're also seeing great response from the community to try to quell some of those concerns. Now, my personal feeling with sport is that there's really no better opportunity to build that sense of community than through a team-based sport. You have opportunities to work on individual goals, individual wellness, but all centered around the greater good for the team, the greater good for the organization. So you have to work with multiple personalities to achieve a goal. You've got to understand different tendencies with coaches, which is the same as when you get older, working with different bosses. This environment of team sport is such a great opportunity when you present appropriate coaching, appropriate leadership to support those athletes. When that is all in place, it is a wonderful opportunity for us to build great mental wellness and mental strength for the youth.
And I appreciate that because I know in my training and learning around resilience, it's with this kind of a lot of the research that the kids need to know they have at least one trusted adult in their life.
Yes.
And if that can be coach, if it's a parent, if it's somebody, but if they know that when they go to play sports, like that's their safe place they can just enjoy and be challenged too and learn important things, but that can be really powerful. Whereas if sport is this pressure cooker of results, 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 and all they're getting is the pressure to be excellent and be perfect. Sometimes it can be the reason that they have some mental health struggles because they're in the
Yes.
pressure cooker environment. So, sports by itself is not good or bad, but how it's used can be really powerful in either creating mental health issues or protecting against and providing skills and community to protect. Again, protect against those mental health struggles.
Excellent connection. Absolutely.
So, what I guess because you are pretty tuned into the mental health space, what are some of the things that you attempt to do as a coach to help either be aware of or proactively prevent is the pro address mental health on your team specifically?
That definitely, I appreciate that. One of the very first things that we do as a team each year and each season is I actually have my players build little goal sheets
Oh, nice.
created. So what do they want to accomplish during the season? And it could be a performance-based goal, it could be an overall wellness goal. There's a lot of resilience after, or pick myself up after a bad play. Love that. There's a lot
Yeah.
of be a great teammate, be a positive leader. And there's some that are hit a home run. The performance-based goals
Sure,
that you
sure.
want kids to strive for too. But that's one of the very first things that we do to begin the season. And we are constantly reflecting on that goal. So
Nice.
I'm one of those coaches that encourage wristband because I can never remember where I'm supposed to put my hands when I'm doing signs. So I love the wristbands. And these little cards go in the wristband during their weekend. So they have an opportunity. If things are not going right, they need to recenter themselves. They can flip open that wristband chart and see their goal right there.
Nice.
We also work on visualization strategies, built in the 5-4-3-2-1, get really sensory with things because softball is such a quick sport. You don't have a lot of downtime. There's no big timeout. I can't pull you to the bench like basketball to give you a little bit of break. You're in, you're part of the action. So what can you do quickly to help you recenter? Touch, trying to feel on that uniform, feeling all the stitching, grabbing a little bit of dirt and moving that around in your hand, finding different smells to get away from the softball feel, looking for items around you. Then we also work on the visual side, trying to project what you're going to be doing. Close your eyes for a moment, take a big old deep breath, see yourself finding that success. What does it feel like? What do? What do you hear from the crowd when that kind of thing happens? So trying to give the girls the best opportunity to first be prepared in a proactive manner, but then also understand what they can do to support themselves in a reactive manner when things haven't quite gone well, and then building that resilience. So mental toughness and resilience at the same time.
Yeah, nice. And those are all wonderful strategies that I'm often teaching coaches or athletes themselves to use. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah, so it's such a powerful tool. I think so many coaches don't realize you don't have to be an expert in psychology to do these things. It can be simple conversations after starting. You have to be intentional, obviously, at the beginning of a season, making sure they set their goals or come up with something that's important for them, and then re purposely reflect on it after each game or each weekend. Maybe each game is too frequently, but okay, how did it go today?
We do ask that question, by the way, Val, the end of every tournament. So I either ask them, what do you believe was your greatest accomplishment during the weekend? Or I turn it over to look at your neighbor. What do you feel
Nice.
your neighbor did really well? So they're constantly reminded that this is bigger than just you. You have a person right next to you that is trying their best to be their best in support of you as well. So it gives them a chance to get out of themselves and reflect and be positive and say good things about someone else on their team.
Yeah, and the second piece I love about that is, especially at that age, 11, they're still a little bit self-centered. They're moving out of that elementary stage in which developmentally they are self-centered, right? That the world revolves around me. But as you start to get older, that capacity to be more communal and pay attention to others around you grows. And so starting to teach that in those early middle school years, late elementary, like, there's other people out here. What did they do? How did they do? So it teaches them to notice other people, but also that teamwork piece. That what I love about that just simple thing is, hey, what did your teammate do well this weekend? Forces them to remind themselves that, like, we are part of a team. Like, we all have to work together to make this thing successful. Because we can lose sight of that as young people every now and then. I don't know why I'm saying we. I haven't been young in a long time, but deal
I
with it.
understand where you're coming from there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you. I know you have bought my books, and I appreciate that immensely. But I'd love to hear just your own take on what it means for people to be confident, calm, and clutch.
These are all the tools that I've mentioned before are all in an attempt to help these young athletes become confident in what they're doing. So that thing that we mentioned before of take a moment, close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and see yourself being successful. That can provide you a chance to, once you open your eyes, feel more confident, feel more ready. And it's all based in the preparation that you do, both physically and where your mental side is. Calm is taking those deep breaths, doing some dragon breathing, or finding some exercise that allows you to recenter to ensure that you are as ready as you can be in a state of calm. You are not feeling pressured, you're feeling supported. You know that regardless the result of the at bat or the pitching performance, you're still going to be supported. You're still a human. You're still loved. This little thing, it can be a learning experience, but it doesn't define who you are. So hopefully that allows a player to feel a little more sense of calm because failure is okay. And then clutch, when it comes time to really turn it on, if you have done everything to prepare yourself, you have yourself an opportunity to step up in the biggest moments and know that no matter the result, you're a great kid and you're supported. But man, that confidence boost that you get from making a great play or hitting a great ball when it means the most, those are things that we should celebrate. But they're celebrated in ways that are not just about the win, it's about what that kid did to overcome maybe a bad play previously, or maybe they swung at a bad pitch on a two-strike count previously, and they changed in that next at bat. That's what we get to celebrate. It's not just about that little moment. So trying to find those opportunities to celebrate these players that are outside of the norm, that show them and remind them that they're growing and that they're supported, that's where I really think that we can get these players confident, calm, and clutch.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's so powerful too, because everybody can be clutch in their own way. On any sports team, you're going to have your studs and you're going to have your role players. And I think sometimes as coaches, we overly focus on the studs, right? And giving them all the accolades, when maybe something that was really powerful was your bench role player gave the high five. I saw you cheering the entire game. You knew you weren't going to get in this game. You were ready if you had to, if there was injury or something, but your support of your teammate and your, that was amazing, right? So even thinking about how can you highlight the role players and the folks, especially at developmental stages, pretty much pre-high school, you're still developing in high school, but anything pre-high school, the wins really don't matter. It's all about how are they growing and developing and helping them see the behaviors that lead to that success and reminding them, hey, you crushed that ball today. That was, you had such great at bats. It didn't work because you happened to hit it to where people were standing, but the way you, if you approach every at bat like that, you're going to be amazing, right? And so I think we can lose sight of that as coaches, not always, but unless we're intentional about really focusing on the small things that every kid find something that every kid did great that weekend.
Yes, and what I love seeing is the coaches that when a pitch is thrown and maybe you've got somebody stealing a base, you got players that move to the right spot, you got your backups in place, you celebrate the backups. Like those are really cool moments because that removed complacency. The kid knew that I gotta go somewhere. I hope I'm going to the right spot, but at least I'm moving. Those are the really cool things that I love to celebrate. Because you're right, it's very easy to be like the kid that went 4 for 4 and smashed everything. It's hard not to overlook that. What can we find that were the little things that these players did really well that's beyond what you would see in the stat book? Those are the cool moments that you should be celebrating.
Yeah, and I would argue for coaches, if that's difficult for you right now, because that you have to train that as a coach. You have to train your perspective to look for those things. We have a, it's just called the confirmation bias, that it's a natural inclination to see what you're looking for. And so if you're just looking for those bigger performance-driven moments as a coach, you're going to miss some of those smaller behaviors the kid backing up first base, all those things. Coaches thinking about maybe you have a checklist. You create a checklist for yourself. Did I see hustle? Did I see players going to the right position? Teamwork, thinking about what are some of those intangibles? I don't want to say they are tangible, but some of those non-performance driven behaviors that you can also focus on to make sure you're catching.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well, there you
build a
go.
checklist out. Try to find the things that you don't normally look for. I love that. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Steal it. Use it.
Alan.
Awesome. All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed that portion of my conversation with Justin. Before we dive into our discussion prompts for today, I want to just bring it to your attention that if you are interested in participating in the You Matter Ankeny Classic for Mental Health, if you have a fast pitch team in the Iowa area that would like to participate in this tournament, please consider reaching out. I have links in the no, show notes in particular, where you can either email Justin directly or join the tournament from the USSSA website. So if that is of interest to you, check out the show notes. We'll tell you how to get there. But let's dive into some conversation. Let's make sure you're actually creating some dialogue from the conversation today. So again, a quick reminder of our rules. No matter what, there are no wrong answers. Okay, make sure you take turns talking and listening. Minimize your distractions as best you can. And as always, you can listen to all of the questions and then just talk about whichever ones make sense. Or you can pause after each individual question and create some conversation for that question specifically. Okay, so let's dive into our first question. When do you feel most confident playing your sport? And what helps you get to that state? So, athletes, think about that. Think back to a time where you felt top of your game, where you were feeling amazing. You were like, I can do no wrong, or you were just in the flow. A time where you were just at your best and feeling it. When was that? And what do you think helped lead to that state? Our next question, Justin and I talked about using goal setting cards and visualization. How can you use something like that before a game or a practice? What do you think you could do to be a little more intentional with your sports participation, specifically around improvement and getting better? Okay. Our next question for today, what makes a team feel like a safe place for you? How can teammates help each other feel that way? How could coaches and the adults surrounding the team help you feel that way? But in general, at this point in your sporting experience, what makes you feel safe to be able to make mistakes, to try, to just be a kid, have some fun, pursue excellence? What enables you to do that? What makes you feel safe to do all those things? All right, our next question for today. Think about a time where you made a mistake in a game. How did your coach and/or teammates respond? And what, based on those responses in the past, what do you think has helped you bounce back? Or what do you think would be, how could they respond differently to help you bounce back faster? Now, I fully acknowledge that bouncing back is part of your own process, right? Some of it's your mental and emotional tools that you use, but the things your coaches say and your teammates say can influence it. Okay, so what do you think your teammates and coaches could do to help you bounce back faster? And maybe even your parents. Okay. Our final question for today, really focusing on new parents in the car as you're listening. How can we focus on praising effort, attitude, and teamwork more or as often as we praise outcomes this week? So I want you to get really deliberate for this week or this next month. How can you be very intentional and deliberate to make sure you're also praising effort, attitude, and teamwork, not just performance? What do you think? All right, y'all. I hope this sparks some really interesting conversations for you. Make sure you keep those conversations rolling and make those car rides count. Thank you again for joining me on Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. Listen, if you found this episode helpful, if you're finding these episodes helpful, please share these episodes with someone in your life, a coach, a parent, another family, sports family. The more you share, The more hands I can get this ep these episodes into, the more people can benefit from these conversations. All right. So please share, subscribe, share. Yeah, that's all I can ask of you. Talk about it. Also, if you're looking for more weekly tips, mindset shifts, and conversation prompts to help you or your athletes stay confident, calm, and clutch, please consider joining my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. And as always, if you're looking for me to discuss something, right? If there's a topic or something that you would like me to hear me discuss on this podcast, please feel free to reach out to me. There are in the show notes, there's a link that you can click on to reach me directly, or you can always go to at the Alston Coaching on either Facebook or Instagram and DM me. I am open. I want to hear from you all because otherwise I'm just, talking about the things that I care about. And that's not necessarily the things that you need to be have discussed in your car or the conversations that you want to have with your kid. Please reach out if you have ideas. But otherwise, I'm so grateful for your listening. Thank you for being here. See you next time.